The great New England preacher Phillips Brooks was noted for his poise and his quiet manner. But at times, even he suffered moments of frustration and anxiety and irritability. And one day a friend saw him pacing back and forth in his office like a caged lion. And he said, "What's the matter, Mr. Brooks?" And he replied, "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." I don't know if you can relate to that. I'm sure we've all seen the quote that says, "Lord, give me patience and I want it right away." I think we all feel that way sometimes. We get in such a hurry for God to do something, and we forget that God's timing is always perfect. We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and today we've come to the fourth element of a godly, Christ-like, Spirit-led life. We've looked at, first of all, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is the key to all of these, the key to all of life. Joy, that inner satisfaction that is based not on circumstances, but on Christ. Peace, we looked at last week. The strength of character that brings serenity and contentment, even in the midst of trials. Now we come to patience. We need to begin by looking at the meaning, the definition, or the meaning of this word, patience. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. The word that is used in the original language is makrothumos. It is a compound word, as you could probably figure out as I said that. It's composed of two words, makros and thumos. Makros in the Greek means long or far or distant. And thumos means wrath or fierceness. It's defined as passion, angry, heat, anger boiling up and soon subsiding again. It has the idea of suffering. And so when you put those two terms together, you get the idea of suffering or enduring wrath or fierceness for a long time. Now, that may sound familiar because the King James Version translates that word in most cases as long-suffering. That's the word. In fact, in the King James Version it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. The idea is suffering long without retaliation. A couple of quotes. J.B. Lightfoot, in his commentary, describes it as self-restraint that does not hastily retaliate a wrong. And John Chrysostom, who was one of the early church fathers, about the 3rd or 4th century, said, "A patient man is one who, having the resources and opportunity to avenge himself, chooses to refrain from doing so." That's patience, long-suffering. Now, there is another word that is used for patience in the New Testament that I want to just mention briefly. It's the word hupomone. It also means patience, but it has the idea more of enduring, persevering, not giving up, hanging on, and refusing to quit. But the word that Paul used in Galatians 5:22 when he spoke of the fruit of the Spirit is makrothumos, long-suffering. The idea of putting up with wrong for a long time without retaliation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, in that description of what love is, the very first thing it says is love is patient. Now in the King James Version it says love suffers long, because the word is the same word there, makrothumos. Love suffers long. It doesn't become impatient with God. A Spirit-filled and Spirit-led believer is willing to suffer long and wait for God to work in His time. That's the idea of the word that's used. Now I want to look for a few moments at some examples. There are many examples in the Bible that give us some idea of this kind of patience, long-suffering. Now, it's interesting that Even though in this passage in James, where Dean read a couple of verses there, in this whole passage, Job is mentioned, but there's a different word used there. Job isn't really an example of long-suffering. James 5:11 says, in the King James Version, you have heard of the patience of Job. But the word that's used there is the other one I mentioned, hupomone. It means perseverance or endurance, and most translations use perseverance. Mine, the English Standard Version, says, you have heard of the steadfastness of Job. The idea that he remained firm in spite of what was happening to him. He was not very long-suffering. He wasn't very patient when it came to his physical afflictions and his distress, or the comfort of his three friends. He became very agitated about what was happening to him, but he persevered. He didn't give up. He expressed his determination in the words that we find in Job 13, verse 15, when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He didn't quit. But there are some other examples of long-suffering, patient waiting in the Scriptures, and we find a couple of them right here in this passage in James. First of all, he mentions the farmer. In verse 7, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives, and my translation says, the early and the late rains. The New International said the autumn and spring rains. The farmer. Well, I think most of you can relate to farmers. You are farmers, you've been farmers, and you understand the waiting. Waiting for the early and the late rains. Waiting patiently for the crop to mature. The farmer knows that it's going to come, but it takes time. He sows the seed and then waits patiently. And I was thinking about that business of the early and the late rains. You know, this may be oversimplifying things, but in my mind, there's two very significant times when you need the moisture. You need the moisture to cause the seed to germinate, the early rains that bring it up and get it going. And then you need the rains that provide the moisture for the heads to fill out, the grain to be to be produced. We all know what happens when you get a dry summer and you get into July and there's no moisture and the grain sprouts little withered up heads that don't fill out. He waits patiently for the early and the late rains, for the moisture that's necessary for germination and for the development of the fruit. The farmer waits through the dry seasons, through the hailstorms, the winds, all the things that happen, knowing that there's nothing that you can do to hurry the process. That's real patience. That's long-suffering. Putting up with everything that comes along, but waiting for the end result. And in the same way, as Christians, we are encouraged in this passage to be patient, to be long-suffering in our hope for Christ's return. He says, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. And then he talks about the farmer. And then in verse 8, he says, you also be patient, be long-suffering, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. We are to be long-suffering because we're waiting. We're waiting for what the Lord has promised, for the promise to be fulfilled. So that's one example he gives. Then there's another example in verse 10 of the prophets. He says, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, James doesn't elaborate. He just refers to the prophets in general. But I'd like to briefly mention a couple, two of them, as specific examples. First of all, there was Isaiah. You're all familiar with Isaiah, one of the longest books of the Bible, 66 chapters. Isaiah, for over 60 years, or approximately, or roughly 60 years. He preached God's message to his people with only a very superficial response. In fact, he saw virtually no repentance, only sin and idolatry in return for his efforts. Even when God appointed him, after that great vision that you have recorded in Isaiah chapter 6, and God called for someone to go with a message, and Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me," and God said, "Go and say to these people, you have eyes but you can't see, you have ears but you can't hear, they're not going to listen." He was told that right at the beginning, and yet he patiently, with long suffering, preached and prayed for revival in Judah. And then there's Jeremiah. I don't know if you are familiar with Jeremiah. Jeremiah is referred to as the weeping prophet. He wrote the book of Lamentations. Jeremiah was abused. He was rejected. He was thrown into a pit because the people didn't like his message. In fact, when they took the message that he had recorded, he had dictated it to his secretary Barak. It was written down in a scroll, and they took it to the king. Do you remember what the king did with it? As he read it, he sliced off piece by piece and threw it in the fire and burned it because he didn't like the message. That's the way Jeremiah was treated. For more than 40 years, he endured affliction. He ended up in Egypt. And yet he patiently and determinedly preached, waiting patiently upon God. So the prophets, the farmers, the prophets, examples of long-suffering, of waiting patiently. And then there's the example of Jesus Christ himself. James doesn't mention that here. But he is, without a doubt, the supreme example of patience and long-suffering. As you read the story of Jesus' life, we see it in his teaching of the disciples. It amazes me, and yet I doubt that I would be much different had I been there. But it amazes me how they so often missed the point of what he was saying. They showed a lack of faith. They were so often focused on personal gain rather than the kingdom of God. You remember all the arguments about who's greatest in the kingdom and who's going to sit at the right and left hand of Jesus in his kingdom and all these things. They missed the point entirely, and yet Jesus patiently continued with them, month after month, year after year, teaching them deeper and more profound truths as he made his way to the cross. We see his long suffering when the people rejected him. The people, in general, turned away from him. They refused to accept his teaching, and yet he wept over Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 13, we have recorded as Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. Verse 34, it says that Jesus wept and he cried out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not." Patient. Waiting, long-suffering. I'm so thankful that he is still patient, that he is still long-suffering. He's still God, Jesus, still waits patiently for people to stop running from him, to turn to him, to accept him in faith. And he's patient with me. I'm so thankful for that. When I fail him, when I do things and say things and think things that are not right, that he is patient and long-suffering. These are just a few examples of long-suffering from the Scriptures. So why is God so concerned with us learning patience and long-suffering? The importance of patience. Why is it that he seems to move so slowly sometimes when we are in such a hurry? Well, in commenting on our need for patience, one commentator says, and I quote, "God's best gifts come slowly. We could not use them if they did not. Many a man, called of God to a work in which he is pouring out his life, is convinced that the Lord means to bring his efforts to a successful conclusion. Nevertheless, even such a confident worker grows discouraged at times and worries because results do not come as rapidly as he would desire. But growth and strength in waiting are results often greater than the end so impatiently longed for." Paul had time to realize this as he lay in prison. Moses must have asked why many times during the delays in Midian and in the wilderness. Jesus himself experienced the discipline of delay in his silent years before his great public ministry began. End of quote. The purpose of our learning patience, long-suffering, is that we might grow. Grow in grace. Grow in faith and trust. The lessons learned along the road are often far more important than the destination at the end. God wants us to learn patience because it gives strength. We read the call to worship at the beginning of our service. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God wants us to develop patience, waiting, long-suffering in our lives. Well, there's one more thing that we need to consider this morning, and that is the development of patience. What is it that keeps us from developing this virtue? Why is patience not more evident in the lives of so many believers, so many of us? I speak for myself. And probably the key obstacle is the fact that we are still in the flesh. And the flesh is totally contrary to the Holy Spirit. The flesh is naturally impatient. If you doubt that, you have probably not had children. Because we know that by nature, the human nature is impatient. It's very hard to tell a 3-year-old, wait. Wait. Now, we have a very unusual granddaughter who tells her parents, she asks for something and then she says, "Say not right now," because she knows that's what the answer is going to be. But for the most part, you know what it's like. Waiting is not natural. The flesh is self-centered. It is selfish and intolerant and impatient. So how can we develop this attitude of patience and long-suffering in our life? I see several factors in the Scriptures. And these are all based on the assumption, the foundational assumption, that we first of all know Christ personally as Savior. Because without that, none of this can take place. But the first factor has to do with faith. Patience is built on faith. I can learn to be patient. I can wait for God's timing. I can suffer long if I have faith in God, if I truly believe that God is in control and that He knows what He is doing. When I have absolute confidence that God is working things out perfectly, then I can be patient. And so faith is a critical factor in the development of patience and long-suffering. We need to trust God to know what He is doing. And then the second factor I see is hope. Patience is focused in hope. The hope of Christ's coming. The hope of what God has promised. James said, you remember what we read earlier? He said, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also," he says, "be patient, be long-suffering, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." The hope of the Lord's return puts everything in a different perspective. Knowing that the trumpet may sound at any moment, that His coming is imminent, makes all those things that irritate us and that cause us to become impatient and anxious, makes them seem far less significant. Suffering becomes much more tolerable in the light of the coming glory. So there's hope, faith and hope. And then ultimately, the third factor is being yielded to the Holy Spirit. And this takes us back to the fruit of the Spirit. This is really the key to it all, because ultimately patience or long suffering is produced by the Holy Spirit in us. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. As we give ourselves over to the Spirit of God, as we live our lives under His control, we find His fruit being produced in us. And part of that fruit is long-suffering, is patience. Right after listing that, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, something like that. Right after listing all of that, Paul said, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh." We just said the flesh is one of the things that keeps us from having patience. "Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." That's Galatians 5, 24 and 25. The key to victory is living in the Spirit. So, do you ever feel that you're in a hurry but God isn't? Do you ever find yourself anxious, selfish, impatient? I know I do. But let's remember that God's timing is always perfect. And remember that God's Spirit dwells in His children. If you know Jesus Christ, His Spirit lives in you. And as we yield to the Spirit, as we walk in step with the Spirit, His fruit is produced in us. As we trust Him, have faith in Him, as we hope in Him, and we yield our will to Him, we will know the patience and the long suffering that we need to take us through the trials of this life. The fruit of the Spirit is long suffering. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word to us. Lord, patience doesn't seem to come naturally to most of us. We don't like to wait for things. But Lord, help us when we become anxious or worried or burdened or weary to wait on You, to wait patiently and to trust You and to hope in You and to yield to Your Spirit so that we can know the patience that the Spirit provides and grows in our lives. Lord, just help us to walk with You, to walk in step with the Spirit. This day and each day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.